Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Gail, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Transilvania conference call to present and discuss the first half 2022 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Ömer Tetik, CEO, Mr. George Călinescu, CFO, Ms. Luminița Runcan, CRO, and Ms. Diana Mazurchievici, Head of ESG and Investor Relations. Mr. Tetik, you may now proceed.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. I hope the sound quality is also good. Thank you for the operator helping us to set up, because now we are in a part of us. We are in Bucharest. Part of the team is in Cluj. We will try to briefly speak about the first 6 months of Romanian banking system, and give you some insight about our numbers. What we have done, what we managed to do or we couldn't, and then we would like to proceed as usual with the Q&A. On the other hand, if there will be other questions after you see the presentation, which is already on the website of BT, if there are further questions, you can always address our investor relations site. Diana, Vlad and their colleagues will try to help and answer as soon as possible. So, first 6 months of 2022, I don't think it was easy for anyone, any business, any country, because of all the geopolitical and financial and commercial changes, huge impact of the war just after the pandemics. Still, Romania, a small economy from Europe, I would say, but on the other hand, with large population and with nature resources, is slightly better positioned, if you can say so, in the existing macro environment. The first quarter was very much supported by the momentum brought by the post-pandemic spending and investments and government programs. In the second quarter, we have seen that this momentum started to fade and actually partially reverse, because there are investments being cancelled or postponed, or production couldn't keep up due to supply chain issues, due to high energy costs and other challenges which came through the war. And we have seen the industrial production contracting almost 1% year on year in the first month, but still consumption has kept the economy functioning. Our macroeconomic scenario is BT by our chief economist Andrei Rădulescu is still on the brighter side of the expectations. We think that the GDP will grow around 3.8% this year and over 4% next year. We are trying to refrain from doing a very long-term forecast now, because many things are changing very drastically. It depends on how the war, energy crisis, and other supply chain issues will prevail or fade away. And but on the other hand, we see a good momentum of the at least post-pandemic investment cycle supported by the European Union funds in Romania. We have been also when we look at the lay numbers, we have to also keep in mind that Romania was also under inflationary pressures, and the consumer inflation in June year on year was 13%, up from 12.4% in May. And this was also inducing National Bank of Romania to update and adapt monetary policy at the end of May, June. We have seen the first increases, and then, as you know, we are already at 5.5% of benchmark rate. The high, let's say, inflation on the other hand is helping the budget deficit GDP ratio, because taxes are, consumption is keeping up, and the budget deficit decreased by 1.7%. This is also related with the investment spending, but slightly better collection tax collection rate of the Ministry of Finance and Fiscal Administration. The impact of macroeconomic and geopolitical changes on the interest rates was definitely by lifting the yield curve. Although we see in the third quarter already some let's say relaxation or normalization maybe. In the first 6 months of the year, increases in the bond yields, ROBOR benchmark had been quite significant. And the 10-year bonds of Romania has reached record levels after following years of declining trend. And Bucharest Stock Exchange, the BET index especially, couldn't avoid sufferance, although as compared to regional peers, it had a better performance by losing less of shareholders' value. The banking sector entered further the 2022 with good capitalization and liquidity. And despite several adverse effects and forecasts, lending activity didn't decrease. And actually, the non-governmental loans had increased as they did for the last 2 years, for the 25th month in a row in June, reaching 353 billion lei. On the other hand, the increase of deposits wasn't as fast as the lending, which has seen its impact on the loan-to-deposit ratio by pushing it slightly higher, but still Romania is below par in terms of loan-to-deposit ratio at comfortable liquidity levels as compared to regional peers maybe. And we see that the growth has been supported in all segments. We see corporate loans increasing 14% year to date, household loans increasing over 4%, and we see that also the good balance of between lei and euro lending continues to keep up. Meanwhile, NPL ratio is quite low. Romania has finished, Romanian banking system had 3.2% NPL ratio, non-performing loan ratio at the end of June. This ratio is now actually, as of end of July, it's even below 3%. I would like to switch to BT's numbers about first half. In the first half, we continued the remnants of governmental programs, IMM Invest, SME Invest, Agro Invest, Construct Invest, Broad Invest type of programs, where we have seen in IMM Invest, in SME Invest program, 37% of the allocated funds were intermediated through Banca Transilvania. This shows our strength and good foothold definitely in the SME segment, as we always claim to be the bank of choice in SMEs. And Banca Transilvania was very active in all programs in cooperation with SME guarantee funds and the guarantee and contra guarantee fund. We see that Agro IMM is also had been very useful for our customers, Agro IMM Invest. We have a strong shareholding in, a strong market share in agribusiness finance in Romania, and also in Agro IMM Invest, rural invest programs, we were the bank of choice, intermediating over 2 billion lei. And we will definitely continue this. Our investments in digital banking, digitalization of our internal activities, but also customer-facing activities is continuing. We have over 3 million customers uniquely digitalized, as we call, so that they use at least one of the digital channels quite frequently of BT. These are both company customers but also retail customers. And we have seen the digitalization of customers grow almost 15% in the first 6 months. And we are already enrolling customers online. We are opening accounts online and servicing basic needs, payments, some of the loan products, lending products online. We also have an annex project with Idea Bank that we are soon going to be rebranding, where we are creating the first 100% digital fully licensed bank in Romania. We have moved, I would say that the key person of our retail banking, Ms. Gabriela Nistor, our deputy CEO in retail banking and cards, is the CEO of Idea Bank. We're looking forward to receive her accreditation approval by National Bank of Romania. And then we will focus in full steam to the development of Idea Bank as well. It is a complementary product. It is more of a fintech approach to banking. It will be a simpler bank. It will not be a bank doing everything to everyone and not addressing, like BT, everyone, any segment. So we are more universal, or we will remain more universal compared to Idea Bank, or with the new name that we will announce soon. In terms of the financial performance, our net interest income definitely is supported by the structure of our loan book with variable interest rates, has increased almost 25% in the next 6 months of this year. We are seeing that due to the pressure on the funding side, the growth might not be as spectacular in the second half of the year. But we are also happy to see another year of another 6 months of over 20% growth in our net fee and commission income. This is a very, let's say, strong focus for us. We are trying to grow our interaction and definitely fee and commission income incurred with the customers. So far, our focus and efforts have been fruitful, and this is being seen in the numbers. Operating expenses definitely under high pressure due to inflation, due to salary adjustments. I would like to mention that we had been doing a couple of, actually in 2022, we have for some of the loyalty programs for the non-executives of the bank, we were due some payments which had been postponed from previous years, which had been done. We have adjusted the salaries of our employees at the beginning of the year, in the first quarter of the year, to the inflation. But on the other hand, everything that we consume, we do, is becoming more and more expensive. Still, our net profit was above last year, similar period. And we have maintained a good return on equity with 23.7%. The increase in the cost-to-income ratio will be very attentively tackled in the next month to come. Management is pursuing several cost control projects. We are not planning to do restructurings any decrease in the number of network or personnel, but we are willing to increase our operational efficiency and optimize some of the things we do. The loan book has grown almost 15% and the deposits by 5%. This brought the loan-to-deposit ratio closer to 60%. We are still below 60% in the first 6 months, with a quite comfortable par 90, below 2%. As we've mentioned a couple of times, our Tier 1 capital ratio or total capital ratio are well above the minimum required levels and at around 22% for each. Our loan book maintains the previous structure, although we see more growth in the corporate side. We still are a lender in local currency. We don't sustain or promote necessarily foreign currency risk for our customers. And 75% of company loans or 87% of the individual loans are in local currency. NPL ratio, as I mentioned, is below 2%, which is coming down from much higher levels, as you may remember from the previous crisis. I guess for everyone, it was lessons learned, and good management of also collection and recovery activities. We are slightly below banking system average as well. This shows our prudent approach. And our deposits, as we are a main salary payer bank in Romania and also a strong SME bank, our deposits from companies and households were also growing despite the negative impact of initial, let's say, reactions to war or higher consumption, increase in the installments. Customers had been increasing their deposits with us. This is making us happy to see that we are still their preference, because in the banking system in general, we didn't see much of an increase in the deposit amounts. Retail banking loan portfolio is over 28 billion with 3.3 million active customers. And we are being active in several streams, several activities, projects now to develop packages of new packages of product services relevant for our customer base. In SME banking, we have reached 8 billion. Our SME banking definition is a bit different from our competitors or European Union definitions. We are more on the smaller tickets, smaller size, but I'll say 8 billion lei is quite significant. Besides the very strong foothold of BT Microfinanțare, our micro lending company, in the same segment or even lower segment. We are growing also well in corporate banking, larger tickets. We have reached almost 20 billion lei in the first 6 months, 6 months of the year. In terms of ESG and sustainability, which is quite a hot topic from regulatory perspective, from the questions and attention that we receive from our shareholders, but also as responsible citizens because of our responsibility. We are glad that we have managed to announce here. I would like to thank our colleagues from Diana and Diana's team, but also risk and finance teams, to explain our stance, so that from Sustainalytics we received a score of 17, which puts us at the top notch of global banks, in top 15% of Sustainalytics universe, and in top 8% of the regional banks in terms of governance, exclusion list of polluting sectors, responsible marketing and sales policies, and initiatives that we have implemented for human capital development and gender diversity. Also, we have signed the first ever blue loan agreement with IFC. This is the loan targets better use, efficient use of water resources, fighting with drought, and also improving the wastewater treatment in Romania. We already have discussions with our customer base, and we think that this will be just first of its kind among many loans. And also, as you see in the presentation, one out of five mortgage loans are green mortgages with grade A energy certificates that we have granted in 2022. This is something that we want to grow as also Romanian construction sector, development sector is more focused on this. We have 784 million value of corporate green loans in the, I'll say, assessed by the climate assessment for financial institutions platform methodology in the first 6 months. This is a 130% increase as compared to previous year. It shows percentages are too high, maybe because the numbers were small, but we think that in the next period, our focus fully and mainly will be on green, responsible lending. Our group had been also the BT Financial Group had been also offering good results. Now we are in the middle of integrating three leasing companies. BT Leasing that we have, Idea Leasing and Triac Leasing. In asset management, BT Asset Management became leaders, market leaders in terms of assets under managed and number of customers. And we see that all our subsidiaries are having a positive contribution to the bottom line. It's one of the businesses that for us, at our size, at our dimension and market share, BT Group is still small, but we want to develop is BT Pensii, the Pillar 3 pension fund that we want to grow further. And here we see huge potential to grow profitably and operationally. I would like to leave it here for the presentation and switch to Q&A. As I mentioned that we will try to answer your questions now on the spot, but in case you cannot, we will come back by updating our presentation or directly to you. Please do not hesitate to approach us through investor relations address. Thank you very much. We can start the Q&A.
The first question is from the line of Lefun Kaitan with Concord Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for your presentation. Just a quick question from my side on loan growth. I think you mentioned during the presentation you may expect somewhat of a slowdown on the dynamics, and I was wondering like what should we expect in the second half of the year or maybe moving to 2023 maybe, if you could share your view on that. Oh, and also another question from my side is on other expenses. I think it increased significantly in the first half and also in the second quarter, and I was wondering if there was any one-offs to those other expenses. Thanks.
So I don't want to be misinterpreted or maybe I misguided you. We think that the increase will decelerate, but we don't expect lower returns or lower income. It's definitely cost of funding is getting higher, but on the other hand, our loan book will continue growing, especially on the company segment. Romania, although has reached over 60%, almost 65% actually, absorption of European Union funds, still, we have upside potential there. That's why we think that there will be growth both on the SME, mid-co and large-co segment. We may see a small temperation of the consumer demand, but it will come back next year with the adjustment of salaries. Romania has also almost zero technical unemployment ratio, so it's not a, how to say, besides the GDP numbers, which are very statistical and high level, on the other hand, the impact on the household incomes is not there, and we are not expecting, to be there. That's why we will continue delivering strong NII, net interest income, but the growth might not be as fast as the first 6 months. As regard to the other expenses, I will ask Georgia to answer.
Hello. So in terms of other expenses evolution, the growth in the year 2022 was driven primarily by the increase in terms of utilities expenses. I think that we have had a growth there in terms of increase in line with what happened in the economy. However, what I can say is that we have noticed that this growth is in accordance with what we have budgeted for the year 2022. So it's not a surprise. Even we think that media were a little bit below the budget that we had for the same period of the year. Other areas that increased in addition to utilities is related to the IT licenses, where we continue our investments into IT and in both in terms of infrastructure and also in terms of development of software solutions for the bank.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Tsagoska Marta with IPOMA Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Tsagoska, can you hear us? Mrs. Marta?
Yes, hi, hello, it's Marta Czajkowska-Bałdyga from IPOPIMA here speaking. Do you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Please proceed
okay.
with your question.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. So thank you for the presentation. I have a question regarding the monetary policy rate. Where do you expect this to go by the end of 2022 and maybe in 2023? And in this, we've connected with that, if you could remind us Banca Transylvania sensitivity to the 100 bps increase in the monetary policy rate, that would be really useful. And the second question is on your cost of risk expectations for 2020. Well, we've CPI going higher with the utility prices going higher. Is that concerning you with regards to the asset quality of the retail and maybe corporate segment with regards to utilities? And yeah, any thoughts on that? Thank you very much.
Hello. I hope I will remember the question rightfully. Please remind me if I skip anything. But as regard to the monetary policy rates, we are foreseeing maybe another between 50 to 100 basis points increase this year. But on the other hand, with the deceleration of the consumption, I mean, or the lower growth of consumer spending and some precautions, I think NBR will be more careful about not inducing a recession through the monetary policy. So we are estimating monetary policy, as I said, maybe plus minus 75% higher. Very generally, as most of our our loan book is with variable interest rates and being repriced between 3 to 6 months period, the impact usually is higher net interest income. It depends very much on the change in the deposit rates or funding costs, how much of it will be impacted. As we have seen in the first 6 months, there was a big, let's say, desire of the customers, maybe especially retail customers, to convert into euro, but it didn't create pressures on the exchange rates. On the contrary, as you may see in the last couple of days, actually, exchange rate is even decreasing because this money and also remittances of Romanians abroad is entering economy back again. In terms of asset quality, we think that the impact, as long as employment and economic activity will continue, it will not be very significant. Most of the companies, larger companies, as everywhere in the world, they manage to reflect partially or fully the price increases in their, the cost increases in their prices. For the retail customers, yes, they are paying higher installments, but on the other hand, salaries are being adjusted all around the sectors, not only at BT or banking sector. So Romania is actually catching up in terms of labor costs and still relatively a cheap country. That's why although I wouldn't expect asset quality to continue decreasing or to maintain here, we don't see that the deterioration of the asset quality would delete the impact of higher income. So it's still on, will be on the, let's say, the bottom line will be on the positive side. As regard to 100 basis points increase, what will be the impact will depend very much, again, on the liquidity structure that we have, and because we also can invest in higher interest rate bills and bonds. We can give loans at higher rates. So it will be, I just assume, I will ask my colleagues to calculate and maybe put it in the presentation later. It should be 150 base points of equity. Anything that I missed, please ask again.
No, thank you. I think it's all.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Fujailov Roman with Prince Capital, Prince Street Capital. Thank you.
Hello. Hi, can you hear me?
We do.
Yes, Mr. Fujailov, we can hear you. Please proceed with your questions. Thank you.
Hi, great. Thank you. Thank you very much for the presentation and congrats on the good numbers. I was wondering about the announcement about converting the Idea Bank license to be a digital bank in Romania. Can you talk more about the timeline for when the digital bank is going to be launched, and I guess more broadly, what you hope to be able to achieve with this project, how it might supplement what you're doing with BT already, and how impactful, how meaningful it can be financially for the company longer term? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. This is, I'll say, among all the challenges, this is an interesting challenge that we pursue. So I don't want to be, again, for clarification purposes, we are not changing the license. Idea Bank is an operational, fully licensed bank already. We purchased it from Polish Getin Holding. We are converting their business model. We already closed the branches of Idea Bank. They do, at a very low, small level, I would say, some digital lending, but the purpose of this bank, I mean, this digital bank, is both to go focused on a segment where we see SBT with legacy systems, legacy services, and with millions of customers, we cannot really allocate full focus. That's why the creator of our most successful digital banking product, BT Pay, Ms. Gabriela Nistor, is running the new bank now, this smaller bank. It will be also, if we may say so, an A/B testing environment, because any product, service, platform, API, from cloud services to core banking, anything that functions well at Idea Bank that we consider that we can escalate, we will be moving, transferring as a know-how, as a platform also to BT. Some of those things is quite expensive or delicate to do at BT because, I'll say, switching systems, switching platforms, when you are doing 35% of the daily payments, then you have a significant market share in online payments, POS payments, acquiring ATMs and so on, we cannot risk anything. So we want to, this is our bank, our subsidiary that where we will learn by doing things. We will be opening up also to new resources. As you know, our head office is in Cluj and we are very much focused on our very talented IT technical let's say pool of people from Cluj, but Idea Bank with head offices in Bucharest will be also attracting talent from Bucharest. So it's a bit of increasing our foothold, learning, doing new things, learning, doing things more agile for a niche customer base. I mean, these are the customers of several fintechs who are not necessarily willing to do a Western Union transaction with a mobile phone from an ATM type of things. So it will be a very basic product package addressing 95% of customers' needs, as many other fintechs in Romania are doing, and we see their numbers, we appreciate what they do. But it will be, once it will reach a certain maturity, I don't know if it is 7, 8 or 10 years, we don't have necessarily decided there, but most probably it will be merged with the mothership, with the mother bank.
Understood. So it sounds like it's as much a desire to make this a kind of experimental lab for BT rather than have the bank itself make a huge difference financially. The idea is to help improve how BT functions.
Yeah, it has also this our one of the scopes list of scope is definitely this. I mean, want to have this lab of bringing new people, getting used to working this, let's say, profile of personnel, but also addressing a certain segment where the competition is very high, and sometimes a universal bank like BT doesn't have enough focus to tap that niche, which is being well utilized by even external competition. I wouldn't mind saying it's a lab, although it was not necessarily risking neither shareholders' money or our, let's say, focus on doing responsible banking.
Yeah, okay, makes sense. Thank you, appreciate it.
The next question is from the line of Bratvalen Mihai with Aegon Pensii. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
Hello, we hear you.
Okay, so my question, actually my set of questions are related to a section of your financial results. Basically, we want to understand more about the reclassification of your fixed income portfolio that on the financial results at the consolidated income part basically produced a 3.5 billion profit. It should have been a loss. So overall, you can say that now Banca Transilvania, at least on paper, looks at the first view looks more attractive than BRD, for example. From our calculations, if you haven't done the reclassification of your fixed income portfolio, your capital ratio would have decreased with around 7%. So obviously Banca Transilvania would not have been that attractive to potential investors. Could you please elaborate on this?
Sorry, can you repeat the last phrase, Banca Transilvania has been or has not been? I didn't understand.
Okay, so we have
the last answer.
Yes. So from our calculation, your capital ratio should have decreased with about 7%. That basically would have made it quite difficult for you to offer, from our point of view, to offer dividends for the current year. I mean, at around 15 or 16%, the capital ratio doesn't look that good anymore. So, any more details regarding the reclassification? We've read the financial results, your comments regarding this, but from our point of view, it seems strange, and
it's definitely also IFRS 9 technical discussion. I would leave a bit later our CRO Luminis and CFO Georgia to answer that. But first of all, our profitability is not impacted. I mean, the numbers that we have shown is not impacted in terms of the bottom line we have generated by this reclassification. The idea is that due to changes in the portfolio structure of the bank, after several acquisitions, moving deposits, loan customers from several banks with different also currencies or conversions, plus our business model is very much in the last, as you have seen in the numbers, getting more and more stronger yes. on the higher segment of SMEs or mid corporates or large corporates. So there is a business model change that we are, we are assuming, and also we think that this is the relevant for the current market and economic conditions. On the other hand, how the reclassification, although it has, as you said, also well, as impact significant impact indeed, it doesn't change our lending capacity, our business growth capacity, nor I wouldn't enter into a dividend discussion now, because I mean, as long as you don't, you know something that we don't know, dividends we are paying based on the prudential calculations and the profitability that we generate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, we have seen, I'm trying to select my words very carefully here, not to give a misguidance, because we have seen in the past period, due to pandemics or due to several changes, regulatory bodies,
yeah.
be it EBA or ECB or locally, can give certain recommendations or directions. There is no such discussion or recommendation yet. That's why I don't want to commit to a certain amount of dividend payment or not. But on the other hand, as long as the bank is profitable and prudential ratios permit, we will definitely give back to our shareholders as we did in the recent past period as well. But this is something that I think we will have more clarity when we discuss in end of October, beginning of November about our September results. We'll see market trends, macroeconomic trends. On the other hand, as I said, I would like, if they want to add anything, George or the minister to contribute here.
With respect to the what's permitted or not permitted under the standards, the reclassification of the financial instrument is permitted, even though it's considered to be a rare occasion. This is allowed in the case there is a change in the business model of those assets that are being reclassified. And this is driven by the bank management. Of course, this is properly documented by the bank, and this is explained in the notes to the financials. And as Omer mentioned,
we can try to take another question or continue.
Mr. Basalian, are you finished with your questions?
Yes, we wanted some clarifications regarding this. We understand that basically the as a conclusion, the reclassification is permitted. Nonetheless, we'll have to take into consideration the fact that now Banca Transilvania and BRD, basically the competitor of the closest competitor of Banca Transilvania, are reporting differently. So my question was from an analyst, from a portfolio manager point of view, and a potential investor. Okay, great, thank you.
I don't want to comment on our competition, and they are all very reputable, responsible institutions. But our model of operating model, business model, had been always almost different, the I'll say from customer segment to currency structure to variable versus fixed portfolios. That's why I cannot comment on behalf of them, but as we have explained, that we have some underlying reasons of changing of the operating model. And still, again, big, very bold parenthesis, even without reclassification, our business development wouldn't be hindered.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Titik for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for your active participation. Your questions, either now or during the our daily daily course of business, helps us also to redress or address certain things which we might not see as clear as you see from outside. On the other hand, looking forward to I'll say meet you, hear you again. We will be participating to a couple of investor conferences in September and in October in Romania and out of Romania. If we will have chance to meet you then face to face, it will be good after years of only teleconferences and Zoom meetings. Again, I repeat that if you have any further questions, please address our investor relations address, and my colleagues will revert to you as soon as possible. Until then, stay safe, take care of yourselves, and hopefully we will speak less of economic challenges, social challenges and war, and more on business challenges and how we do things better. Thank you.